Morning, if you would turn to the book of John, chapter 6. For now, you can just open your Bible, set it right down there in your lap for just a moment. We're going to talk about these words that our Lord gives us in the book of John, chapter 6. Excuse me. When the gospel of free and sovereign grace found in Christ Jesus alone is preached, the results are always purposed by God. In Hebrews 4:12, we read these words: "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Imagine that, sword, the word of God. You know who's wielding that sword, don't you? God Almighty. It's His sword. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Truth is, most are offended by it. Most will not hear the truths that are revealed in God's holy word. These words are an offense to the world. But to some, the word is precious. It shines with grace, unmerited favor. It shines with the grace of God in the hearts of His people. To a sinner, for example, someone who is destitute, bankrupt, one who has been given a true understanding of their condition before a thrice holy God, the grace and love of God is more precious than any gold, any silver, or any shiny stone. Here are the words of Holy Scripture inspired to be written by the Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, Peter is led by the Lord to state these words: "And a stumbling stone," speaking of our Lord and Savior, "a stumbling stone, a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense." Now, this is God's word, folks. This is not mine. This is not me up here trying to interpret to you what God's word means. This is God's word. Our Lord Jesus is a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But just before that, just before Peter wrote those words, the Lord inspired him to write this in verse 7 of that same chapter 2, Unto you, the elect of God that Peter addresses in 1 Peter chapter 1, where he says, elect those who are scattered throughout Pontius, Galatia, and so on, throughout the world. He's saying to them, unto you, therefore, which believe, unto you which are righteous in your works? No. Unto you who've made a decision to follow Jesus? No. He says, unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Unto you who believe God Almighty, His word. Whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. Amen. That's God's word. The unregenerate man hates God, he hates His word, he hates His Son, and as He says in His word, they will not come to Him that they might have life. That's God's word. That's in John chapter 5, verse 40, if you want to look it up. In the 10th chapter of John, we read these words. Then came the Jews round about him. These are some unbelieving Jews. Unbelieving religious people. People who were moral in every way. All that they did was according to the morals of this world. And they came around about our Lord and they said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, he says, I did tell you, I told you, and ye believed not. And then he said, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. They're proof of who I am. No man can feed 5,000 with just a couple of fishes and a loaf of bread, a couple of loaves of bread. No man's ever done that before. No man's ever made somebody's hand who was withered to all of a sudden become whole. Nobody raised anybody from the dead before. Our Lord did miracle after miracle after miracle, and the very people who stood there and saw it didn't know what he was or who he was that did it. But ye believe not, he said, because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Our Lord stood there and told these unbelieving Jews, these men of the world, these religious self-righteous men, the gospel of free and sovereign grace. What do you think the reaction was? That I read for you just now was John chapter 10, 24 through 30. The very next verse in verse 31, this is what happened. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Was my statement not according to God's word when I said the gospel of free sovereign grace is like a two-edged sword? Was that just John's interpretation? Or have we seen in God's word just now the very truth of that? Folks, we must worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. The world part of us, my humanistic part of me, wants to say no. I want it this way. I'd rather have it this way. But my spirit says, Lord, thy will be done. Why? Because I have a new spirit. Just as each and every one of you have. If God has come to you through the preaching of his word, you have a new spirit dwelling in you that teaches you the truth of God's word. I can't teach your heart anything. But with God, nothing is impossible. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. The irresistible, sovereign, electing love of Christ Jesus the Lord is a two-edged sword. An edge of offense to most, and an edge unto grace to some. You're either offended by these words, or they are precious to your heart. What are these words to you this day? I ask you this question this morning. Doth the word of God offend you? Look with me, if you would, at John chapter 6, and let's begin at verse 59. These things said he, speaking of our Lord and Savior, as you can see if you have a red lettered Bible, the letters that are our Lord spoke of him, spoke himself, These things said he, our Lord, in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" Now let's continue on, and we'll come back to this in a moment. And he goes on, he says, "And what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father." And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now before we consider what things offended these disciples, let's consider this. Don't put a whole lot of stock in what the Lord calls a disciple here. In other words, being a disciple does not make you saved. Just as there are false prophets of which the Word of God speaks much of, so there are false disciples. The word disciple simply means a student, one who follows around and tries to learn. Now what are these things that bothered this religious people? Turn back a page, if you would, and look with me at verses 25 through 27 of this chapter 6. 25 through 27, we read this, "And when they had found him," speaking of the multitude of people, our Lord had just fed 5,000 people, and after he had left, they went looking for him. Where did he go? Why did he leave? Let's go find him. What a man who fed us all in that one sitting. "And when they had found him, on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you," now listen to these words, folks. This is not John's interpretation. This is not a preacher standing telling tell you what this means. Listen to God's word. "I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Now, this one who is standing before this people, this large crowd of people, I don't know if it was the entire 5,000 that were fed on the hill or whether it was just a few, but it does say that many followed after him. Here is the creator of all that is. He's the very one who put these people in the womb of their mother. The very one who brought rain upon rescue the other day for the first time we've seen rain in several months. Creator of all that is. Hold your place here in John chapter 6 and turn back to John chapter 1. I want you to read these very familiar words, but I want you to read them for yourself. Be as the Bereans. Make sure the man standing before you is speaking from the Word of God. John chapter 1 verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now look over at verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now go back to our text. This one who is the creator of everything, this one who is God Almighty in the flesh, this one who humbled himself from the glory that he once had, who crossed over the sea of time and became a man, was manifest in the flesh. He is telling it like it is to these very religious people. He's telling them the truth. You know why people won't come to the light? Because it reproves, it shines the truth on their deceitful lies. On their deceitful lives. Oh, how we all want to be as gods, ruling over our own time, ruling over our own destination, ruling over what's going to happen next in our lives. I know, because I am that way also. All men are that way. And women. And almost every 2-year-old there is out there. Oh, how we want to rule over our own lives. He's telling this religious people, I just brought about a miracle before your very eyes, a miracle that no man could ever commit. The miracle of feeding all these people. Can you imagine? I think I've shared this before. Could you imagine? It was on a little mound out there, you know. Christ is up on the top, and his disciples were grab the baskets, and they start to spread out between all the people around the hill. Could you imagine being at the bottom of that hill? Oh, man, I am hungry. There is no way that that basket is going to make it to me. The guys down at the bottom of the hill, they saw the miracle better than anybody, right? I mean, the first guy that got the fish, he had to be sitting there going, I got mine. You poor people down there! When the disciples got down there, there was more food in the basket than there was when they started. Imagine what it was like to see that miracle. No man could ever commit it. And our Lord tells these people who just saw that, all you look to me for is to fill your belly. Read on, verse 28. And then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Here we see our Lord calling them to a work that they never thought of, nor heard of. Notice that it said in verse 7, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Our Lord is teaching these men the works of faith. We are saved by grace through faith, through believing. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did, and where he is right now. Isn't that what we read in Ephesians 2 verse 8? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Isn't that what we read? Isn't that what that says? Yeah. The owning and acknowledging of him to be the true Messiah. The embracing and the receiving him as the only Redeemer. And trusting him with all the concerns of their souls. These folks didn't have any idea of what that was. Our Lord is teaching them to have faith. This is what you must do. You must have faith. Oh, but what about the works? I mean, all my life I've studied in this Word. I've looked at the Word of God. All my life I've gone and worshiped my Lord according to the Old Testament ways, the Sabbath days, the feasts. I've done all this. What about all this stuff I need to do? There's got to be something I need to do. Look, I'm good at that other stuff, right? Well, okay, not really good, but partly good. You must own and acknowledge that he is the true Messiah. He's teaching them to embrace and receive him as the only Redeemer, to trust him with all their concerns. This is the one thing that God requires of sinners, that we believe on the one whom he has sent into the world to save sinners. Folks, it's not the works of the law, nor it is some religious ceremony, but faith in Christ that saves. That's what we read in John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now read on, if you would, verse 30. And they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. What they're saying there is they're saying that though he just fed 5,000, yeah, we saw you feed 5,000. That's not that big a deal. Our father Moses, he fed us for 40 years in the wilderness. They were exalting their father Moses. They could not see the true picture of what the manna from heaven was at that time. So our Lord is about to tell them. Look at verse 32 through 33. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth to you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This people who have all their life throughout thought of good works was there, that their good works was their righteousness, are now being once again corrected. The light is shining on their evil works. You think it's your righteousness that is going to save you? No. You have no righteousness of your own. The only righteousness is the one that's found in the one who is sent from the Father from heaven, the bread of life. They thought their good works was their righteousness, and now being once again corrected, our Lord is saying, you are mistaken in your opinion of that bread from heaven. It was not given to you by any power or virtue in Moses. It was by my Father, not Moses, who gave you that bread. Now read on to verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now think of the offense that was taken there. What? I've been raised all my life to think that that was Moses gave me that bread. How dare you? I've been raised all my life in the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. How dare you tell me that's a false religion? I've been raised all my life in the religious Catholic Church. How dare you tell me that that's a false religion? That all the stuff we do there is false? How dare you tell me that? Mike's sitting back there shaking his head, uh-huh, because he knows he was in one of those false religions at one time. I have not had to go through that. But I can imagine. I can imagine what it must have feel like to be, oh, I know I'm saved, and then to find out, no, I wasn't. All that stuff that I had done, thinking that I was doing the right thing, was nothing but dung in God's eyes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now read 35 through 40 if you would please. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Folks, do you hear the gospel? Do you hear the Lord Jesus Christ preaching Christ? You see, that's the gospel. The gospel isn't all the good things that we can do as a church, all the good things that you will become as you become more and more whatever you think you're becoming. That's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And our Lord and Savior preached Christ. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. Our Lord is preaching the gospel, the very thing that offended these religious people. The very thing that said, all you've done has been worthless all your life. Paul said, everything that I did before the Lord called me on that day on the road to Emmaus, I know it was dung. It was worthless. Absolutely in vain. Think of the offense. How dare you tell me I'm a righteous person? I've never lied to my dad. I've never lied to my mom. How are you feeling today? I'm feeling great. You may think that that's kind of trivial to say that. But folks, that's the way it is. Every little sin deserves the wrath of God. And everything you and I have ever done our entire lives deserves that wrath. Now hang with me for a few more minutes. We're going to get past this part here, because the gospel is all of it. The whole counsel of God.
Yes, sir.
It's the whole counsel. Man died in sin when Adam sinned against God. But there's one coming. The entire Old Testament talks about the one who's coming to save his people from that sin. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That one is here. And he's going to the cross now for his people. Acts through Revelations. You know that guy who came to the cross and shed his blood for us? He's going to come again. And he's going to take us home. He's going to take us home. Folks, salvation is of the Lord. And of the Lord alone. The pure, unadulterated, sovereign graciousness of God. Romans 9, verse 15 through 16. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have a compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Whew. This is the gospel. This is the good news to those who were once blind. Those who once could not see the depth of our own lost estate. But now we see, by the mercy of our Lord, we see His truths. We see His grace. A born-again child of the Most High sees these words of grace and we rejoice. For we know that we would not have sought Him if He had not sought us first. That's what the words that we read back in verse 29 meant, where He said, this is the work of God. This is the work of God. He will have mercy upon whom He will have mercy. Salvation is of the Lord. This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him. You're saved by grace through faith. A gift of God, not of the works of man, lest man should boast. That is what that is telling. Our faith, our belief, our trust is the work of God, not of our own works, lest we should boast. And we know that to be true. We see that we are just like these unbelieving folks at one time, and by God's grace, now we believe. I love these words, grace. Grace. And more grace. It doesn't get any better than that. There is no peace in this world outside of that. I know, but for the grace of God, there go I. Look at verses 41 and 42 of our text. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." They didn't want that. No, that can't be. That can't be. And they said, "Is not," in verse 42, "is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" What are you talking about, this man who is a carpenter? If the Messiah was going to come back, the Messiah is going to be clothed in the best clothing. No king that we've ever seen on this earth would have such righteous clothing as our Lord. They couldn't see the righteousness of Christ, the perfection of the sinless man who stood before them. Do you know that Scripture tells us that our Lord was not something nice to look at? Some people might say Fabio is a good man to look at. Our Lord was not long-haired and good-looking like Fabio. Now, I know some of you ladies are shaking your head no, but he's made a lot of money with his looks, okay? They murmured. They strove. They said, "Who is this man? Who is he to stand before us and tell us that he is our only salvation? How dare you tell me the works I'm doing is not righteous?" They murmur, they strove. Consider these words again, if you would, in John chapter 10, verses 26 to 30. "But ye believe not," our Lord said to those unbelieving Jews, "because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice." And once again, this time let me read verse 31, if I didn't before. This, the gospel of God's free and sovereign electing love. Listen to the sword cut the other way. "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." Speaking of the ones that they didn't like the Lord, that the fact that the Lord says, "My sheep hear my voice." They took up stones to stone our Lord when he told them that. Folks, the gospel of God's grace is an offense to the world. So much so that the world crucified the Lord of glory for it. Have you ever stopped to consider that it was the religious people of that day that crucified the King of Kings? Pontius Pilate wanted to let him go. It was the religious, moral people of that day that cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! We don't want his truth. We like our own." And you and I were right in that boat at one time. The very boat of saying, "I will not have that one rule over me." No, these religious people, they said, "Give us the murderer Barabbas. Crucify this one who makes himself to be God. The Lord of all glory laid down his own life for his sheep, not for all of mankind, for the road of destruction is wide and many there shall go." Yet he provided his people, his elect, his sheep, a pure and perfect lamb, a sacrifice for our sins, a perfect sacrifice. He was known from before the world began, the lamb slain, the spotless lamb of God. He made himself our scapegoat, our substitute. Listen to the words of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Those who were set apart. Those who were taken out of the world and made the righteousness of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus. Romans 8, 1, we read these. "There is therefore now no condemnation, no charge." You can't charge God's elect because all of the charges have been put on our Savior. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And then we read these wonderful, wonderful words of peace in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 31. "If God be for us, who can be against us?" I'm going to ask you again. Doth this offend you? That's what the Lord asked him. He told all these people what you and I just read in scriptures. And they murmured. The world doesn't like the truth because the truth shines and exposes their wickedness. Our Lord said, will ye also go away to his disciples, to his apostles, the 12? Look with me again at verses 63 through 69 of John chapter 6. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For the Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Oh, oh Lord, keep me. Lord, keep us. Don't let us go away. Teach me, Lord, to say these words. Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Again, I don't want you to take my word for anything. Turn over to Matthew chapter 16 and I'll bring this to a close. Matthew chapter 16. Very familiar words. I speak of them often. But I want you to read them with me this time. I want you to see the Word of God, and may it please our Lord to press these words on our hearts. I want the Lord to keep me. And this is a hard thing to say. Even if it costs me pain. Even if it costs me a trial. You say to yourself, well, John, you better be careful what you pray for. Because there's a lot of stuff that can go through the world right now. I know. But nothing of this world is more important than my Lord keeping me. I know if I'm His, He will. But I'm praying, Lord, keep me. Listen to these words in the Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Our Lord he knew what they were going to say. But imagine what John and Peter and the others were sitting there thinking as they said, well, you know, some of them say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah, maybe, or that you're Jeremiah, or maybe one of the other prophets. Oh, okay. Yeah. And then our Lord said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say the Lord of Scriptures is? Is he somebody just wanting you to do something? Or is he God Almighty making everything happen according to his purpose? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Folks, if you think you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, then you know that it's only because he has revealed himself to you. We don't just get smarter someday and say, you know what, I think I'm going to follow Jesus. No. That's some other Jesus that the world wants to talk about. The true Jesus is the one who comes to you when you were running from him and said, You're mine. I shall have you. I paid for you. I bled for you. And my righteousness is yours. And you shall be with me and my Father in heaven for eternity. A true born again sinner, to a true born again sinner, these words that I have just read to you are made to be precious. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Let's sing that, shall we? Stand with me and